Welcome you and share with you the joy that I have to be present here. You know, as I think about today, you know, we mentioned it this morning when Aaron was reading the announcements and everything, today was going to be a full day. And it was. And you know what? That is good. That's good. It's good that we have a full day together, and it's good that we have this opportunity now to finish this day, that we come to honor the Lord here in His house and hearing the message that He's put upon our brother. And so I'd ask that you would prepare yourself to receive the message, that you would consider the things that are shared as our brother would bring to us the words of the Lord. And so I give you Apostle Jay Moser.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be back in Phoenix, be able to talk to you. I've canceled a couple of my preaching appointments already and postponed them for some other time, but I'm grateful to be here. One of the things which I have to bring to you tonight, some of it has to do, was tempered a little bit by the services of this day and by our brother Mike's baptism. But part of it is also because of some things that have transpired. And so I would like to get started. I'm hopefully not to keep you here too terribly long this evening, but I want to make sure I've got what I want up here. Yeah, very good. Now, of course, it's got a big title there, The Bride. That's not the title of this sermon, but there, of course, is my daughter on the day of her wedding, and in the background is my hometown where I grew up, and one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth, that I think, except for there's just so many people. But then when I look at this particular scripture that's there, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You know, I don't think it has anything to do with this city that's coming out of heaven. I really kind of question as to whether it has any buildings in it. I may be wrong. You know, they may become with buildings, but the real bride of Christ isn't buildings, and it's not beautiful red rocks. It's people. People are the bride. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why in some ways I'm glad I'm not up there. I don't live there anymore because there's so many people. Because when I grew up there, I could wander all over the place, rode my bike up and down the streets, and if I did something wrong, all the neighbors would tell on me. And they'd call up my mom or dad and let them know what I had done wrong. But the bride of Christ, you know, she's adorned and she's prepared. She's prepared to receive her husband. You know, but I don't think that we read the scripture. It says God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, to me, which tells me that this preparation that the bride is going to have is going to be spiritual. Going to be spiritual, more so than hair and fingernails and a beautiful white dress. It's going to be a spiritual preparation. And this is what you need to be doing in your life, being spiritually prepared, and that you're not soon easily moved away. And so I think for the most part, that's the kind of people I'm speaking to this evening, people who are not easily moved. And that's how we have to be. This preparation is a spiritual preparation, and we can't let anything deter us from this goal, because we live such a short life here in such a short period of time, and very few people ever really accomplish the temporal things, you know, that they'd like to accomplish in life, you know, but those spiritual preparations, I believe God has given us the power to be able to accomplish those things in His. So I'm going to begin here. Some things that we need to keep in mind, and I'll try to keep it as simple as I possibly can. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is something concerning God, is what he is like. And I just had this one scripture here, and it says, "But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of Him who knoweth all things." When we come to God and we're striving to serve Him, we have to first believe and trust Him that he's wise, that he has everything under control, that he knows exactly what he's doing. I remember, and Hubert mentioned this evening that God would do everything, the Lord Jesus would do everything he possibly could for the saving of our souls. And he does it in wisdom. And, you know, some people, and the reason I think that a subject like this is so important is because some people never see and have the things that you have. They never have anything that you have, and they would look at what you are, the way you are today, and they would think you're rich. And I know you know this. I know you've heard it before, but it is true. It's absolutely true. And in a moment, and in just a few minutes, if many of the people could see how you personally live, they would be jealous. They would be envious of you. This I know, because I know some of those people. And so we have to trust God completely for what he does. And even though everything doesn't work out exactly the way we want it to work out, we have to trust him for those things. Concerning ourselves, we read this: Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. And this doesn't mean fun. It means joy. It means this spirit that we can feel that makes us happy, that makes us feel wonderful because of the God's blessings, that makes us feel the Spirit of God within us. Just like today, when we see a brother who has turned his life over to the Lord, it gives us a joy and a hope to see that the gospel of Christ is working in people's lives. And it lets us know what kind of thoughts God has for us. God has good thoughts for us, for mankind. And the second scripture I want to read here is in that same chapter of 2 Nephi and chapter 1. And they are free, talking about men, to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. And I never cease to be amazed that when you choose to serve God, that it doesn't always mean you're going to have long life, but how often when we choose to serve and are found captive by the devil, how often it shortens our life. It may only be a few years, but it shortens people's lives. It happens all the time. Literally. Oops, that didn't come up right. Well, we're missing one. But that's okay. That's good. I like this picture anyway. That is my grandson. And, you know, we're free. We are free, as we mentioned in that last scripture. And one of the things that I noticed, and the rest of my family happened to notice it, my daughter mentioned it to me, and I had seen it as I first saw I came back from one of my last trips here, and he's crawling around, and he's moving, and he's standing up, and he's all of a sudden, he's more content. Now, he's not always content. He's going to cry before this day's over. There's no question about it. He'll probably cry before the service is over. But he's more content. Why? Because he's experiencing this first beginnings of freedom. To go, to do, to see, to conquer, to grab, to put it in your mouth, or whatever, you know, all these things in life that are out there in front of him. And he's content when he's experiencing all these new things and discovering all the loose things that are in, you know, our little house over there. And I'm sure in his parents' house he finds all the little loose things and throws them on the floor and sticks them in his mouth and this freedom, and he's content because he's exploring this world that God has given us. So he's beginning to have this human experience. And I know young men and women have this experience, and it gets really acute, I think, when we get about 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, this tremendous desire for freedom. I want to do what I want to do. It's natural. It's not something that's odd. It's not odd. It's not terrible. It's just something that we have to wait on the Lord. And as parents, we have to learn how do we give liberty here and responsibility there, and how do we satisfy their hunger to stretch out into this world and to help them to stand on their own, to be free. This is a great thing. And now concerning our enemy, because that's really what we're talking about this evening is this the temptations that are around us. First off, in this same chapter that we read, talking about the devil, he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. That's his goal. He is a liar. He is a malevolent being. And he cannot be touched with compassion or sympathy or mercy or any of these things. He is filled with hatred and malice and blood is upon his hands, and the blood of all mankind, of the innocent blood that's been shed, he someday will suffer and be tormented for those things. But he seeks every moment, and he does so by presenting to us lies, by presenting to us things that we'd kind of feel like maybe he could do something for us, and people get tempted into doing things that he suggests. And that's what I want to talk about. We are living in a world, a spiritual world, and people are influenced by spirits in this world. And so let's continue reading here in 2 Nephi chapter 6 verse 21. And our spirits must become like unto him. And we become devils, angels to a devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God and to remain with the Father of lies in misery like unto himself. Yea, to that being who beguiled our first parents and who transformeth himself nigh unto an angel of light and stirreth up the children of men unto secret combinations of murder and all manner of secret works of darkness. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples at one time, he said, everything I tell you in the ear, you tell that on the housetops. And so often when we're influenced by an evil spirit, there's so much secrecy involved. You don't want anybody to know. And why the scriptures times call the servants of our enemy, they call them, you know, the children of darkness. They do everything. And we know that so many crimes, not all crimes, of course, because there's crime going on every 24 hours a day, but so many crimes happen when the sun goes down. And that's when people go out to rob and to steal and all kinds of things they do at nighttime in the darkness, because they're children of darkness. And they want some sort of hiding of this. I think it's something natural. They don't want it to be seen by other people. God never tempts us. So I want to read this. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Of course, a spiritual death. But again, I do marvel how often it brings forth physical death. We've seen some terrible things, you know, here in the news. There's been so many people that have, for some one reason or another, usually because of being intoxicated, get on the wrong way on the freeway in the middle of the night. I don't know how many times they're hearing about it all over the country. Terrible. And what does it bring? It brings death. It brings death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God God called us. He made us from His own, by His own will, His own desires. He never seeks to destroy people. But He does sometime, as it's been pointed out. He will seek to amplify your Christianity. And He will permit things to take place. He will permit you to be tempted because He knows it's for your edification, to make you stronger. We live in a day when things are so easy, and maybe, I don't know if it's that way in our country, just alone, or if it's so many places in the world, but strength is something we need. And I wonder if that's why sometimes we have had some of the problems that we've had. We need to be strong for maybe some of the temptations that are coming. We need to be strong to be able to help other people. We need to be able to, and sometimes God sees something in us and he lets things go on. He lets things develop and put you, permits you to be placed in a trial that will make you become strong, will make you choose Him alone. He prepares us for eternal life. That He does do. And He lets us be subject to our own errors. And that's one of the toughest things we have to bear. What is the answer to this? And this really is the center of my sermon. Believe, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, to me, this is the only explanation for some of the horrible things that go on. For some of the things that you have been touched by yourself, even among us. Terrible, terrible things. People listen to the wrong spirit. They listen to lies. They listen to their own... And how many times, you know, if we should look at our own lives and know that when we yielded to something, when we listened to the wrong thing, thought we could get away with something, and then we couldn't. We did something silly. We did something that wasn't wise, and we got caught because we listened to the wrong thing. But there are people who will do this, and they'll just continue. They'll grasp something, and they'll pray, and they say, you know, God doesn't answer my prayers, but they're praying for the wrong thing. They're not praying for God to do His will. They want a certain thing to take place, and they think, well, God didn't do this for me, and so I'm going to go. Sometimes these things get very close to home. Brother came out here and came to our reunion, and he wanted help. Stayed in my house, visited with me, and told me, we sat in one evening and talked. Visited about his needs and his problems and his family. And I told him, you know, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. And he came and told me, and I really feel like I've gotten some answers. And before reunion was over, he went and left. And I thought, I don't understand. If you're getting what you need, why do you want to leave? It would seem confusing to me. And it was a few months later, we had some terrible news. Terrible, horrible news. There is only one explanation. And we listen to the wrong voice, the wrong thing in our heart. The wrong thing is coming, and we're listening. People listen. And I'm certain that people, they do hear. They hear things. And sometimes we might look at this and say, well, it's because of some chemical imbalance in their body, in their brain, and it may be true. It may be true quite often. But I believe, because of what the Scriptures tell me, there is a malevolent being who hates mankind. And he deceives us. And if we listen to him, he leads us down a road to destruction, one way or another. Down this road. It's the only thing that explains to me what's going on in this world. Happiness is not found in sin. In Alma, chapter 19, verse 74, "Behold, I say unto you, wickedness never was happiness. And now, my son, all men that are in a state of nature, or I would say, in a carnal state, are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. They are without God in the world, and they have gone contrary to the nature of God. Therefore, they are in a state contrary to the nature of happiness." And this is something we need to be careful about, to guard against, not think, to not be deceived by sin, not be deceived by this lie when this other voice is telling us, you know, if you'll do this, you'll be happier. You deserve this. You deserve this. And if someone won't give it to you, it's their fault. They're doing the wrong thing. These are all voices. These are all things that are not right. These are all things that come from the opposite source for our well-being. But inside, as we've seen today, inside the covenants that God makes, He blesses people in covenants. He makes covenants with human beings. He makes covenants with tribes of people, with nations. He made a covenant with the United States of America. God made a covenant with this country. And I'm going to make a recommendation. There's a man named Michael Medved. He's a Jewish author, a Jewish host on a radio station. And he published and caused to be recorded some recordings. And they're each about an hour and a half. And I learned a lot of things. How God Himself brought this nation into being. How God Himself brought it into being. There is no reason that the United States of America should be a nation except because God wanted it. There's none. There's no possible way we could have ever won that war. The revolution of that particular revolution, it is so unusual and so unique. There is no other revolution that anyone knows of in the history of this world that is the same. We are a blessed people. And God made covenants with people. He blessed this nation. He blessed us, giving us so many wonderful things. The blessings in the covenants of God. I want to read about one of these covenants in 1 Nephi chapter 4. It says, "And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by Him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of His doctrine, that they may know how to come unto Him and be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and the nourishment from the true vine? Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God?" So right in the middle of this, in verse 20, "And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God?" This is typical of the covenants that we make. When we make a covenant of marriage, when we make a covenant of baptism, God blesses His people. He blesses His people. He lives inside the covenants, the righteous covenants that we make. And God is there to bless us. And outside of those things, it's very difficult often to find many of the blessings that we need in life. One of the great problems that I see is that our adversary, he makes you discontented. He makes you discontented with anything. Discontented, you know, it's not a discontentment with just your own righteous works, but discontented with life. Discontented with anything in the world, discontented with your house, discontented with not having what you think is coming to you, discontented in a marriage, discontented with your job, discontented with the amount of money that you make. That doesn't mean that we don't work to improve ourselves, to better our lives, to better our marriages, but there's a discontentment, and then people begin to look somewhere else always. And so I put the scripture here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This is a spiritual attribute. If you're not contented with what God has given you, then I believe we need to take some measures in our life to find contentment. And with the adversary, everything is game. Everything in your life is going to be subject to his temptations. And so this is why we have to stand firm and strong always in the things of that are right and good. So what's the process? I'm going to go to a scripture that we find here in the book of Ephesians. I want to read that quickly. And beginning in verse 17 in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and 17. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So the process is to not think like everybody else in the world, is to begin to think differently. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So what is this process? You know, I'm not going to talk about all those things. We have to walk differently than everybody else in the world. And the evil things. We have to do something. If you're going to be prepared for that eternal presence in God, in God's presence, if you're going to be prepared, you have to walk differently than the people in the world. We have to. Our action is required in our lives to be spiritually prepared. And this takes a change of our heart and our mind. We have to make sure that our hearts are not hardened. You know, sometimes we can, because of the stumbling blocks that are before us, because there's so much evil in the world, because there are so many churches in the world, because there are so many things that are said, we live in a world of communication where we hear everything every day in one way or another. There are so many things to do. Our heart becomes hard. We don't listen any longer. And we have to guard against that, where we don't feel anymore. We don't feel the compassion that we need to have for other people. We don't feel any kind of mercy sometimes. We need to think about these things. So we seek knowledge from Christ, and we put away the evil knowledge as Christ has defined what evil is. Look to do that, because His Word has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Renew your mind by building good and by distancing yourself from evil. Renew your mind. This, to me, is one of the most important things that in my life personally that I have to do, but this requires an action. And the last thing, and this is it, we're going to close, that I want to talk about, and that's our service. Our service to one another, our service to God. And if anything, you have any thoughts in your mind about not serving people, you know, we're called to serve the good and the bad. We're called to serve the old and the young. The scriptures speak about us taking care of the widow and the fatherless and the poor and the needy. But seeing things, anything that you see that needs to be done, you know, you become responsible for those things. And sometimes God puts those things in your mind, in your heart. His voice puts those things in your mind. So from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 20, according to the earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You know, we have to glorify God in everything that we do. And whether we live or we die, it doesn't matter. We have to serve God in all these things. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not, or I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me and by my coming to you again. Paul had this mindset that whether he was alive or whether he... I told a sister, you know, that one time here in Phoenix, that, you know, there's no sin in wanting to go to be with Christ. There's no sin in that. It's a good desire to want to go to be with Christ. But if there's anything that ever comes into our life, I didn't tell her this because it wasn't part of our conversation, but if there's anything that ever comes in your life and you think, well, maybe, you know, I'm going to, because of shame or whatever it is, because my life, I feel like my life is ruined, I'm going to do something terrible, I'm going to make some decision in my life that's going to affect other people because, you know, life is just not fair. This is an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit working in our lives to do something that would hurt someone else in any way. This man, he said, you know, I can go and be with the Lord and I count it gain. It'll be something wonderful, the best thing that could ever happen to me. But if I'm here, I see I'm needed. I'm needed to be here. Someone needs me. And I can be of service. No matter what happens to my life, I can be of service to someone. Even if it's to trim trees, if it's to change oil in somebody's car, if it's to help paint, if it's to help roof a house, if it's to help maintain the church, if it's to encourage someone, if it's to pray for someone, someone can use my service. Someone can use my service. And the evil spirit tells someone, you know, I don't have what I want. I'm bitter. I'm resentful. Things have happened and my life's ruined because I've lost something, because my wife has divorced me or something terrible has happened. I didn't get the job I wanted. I didn't get the car I wanted. Whatever it is in life, these things are not right. These things are not right. God does not punish us, but He makes it so that we can serve people. He always calls us to service, whether we die for Him or whether we live for Him. And to be free, truly, spiritually, This is a hard task to not be so tied to the things of this world that they bring us down, that they make us in despair. That's the victory we can have, is to not be in despair, and how you can make certain that people will not grieve for your life. People will not grieve because of something that you have done in your life. That they won't be weeping for one of our loved ones because something that you did. But that we'll look upon you and say, you know, this is someone that stood the test. This is someone who stood firm. Well done. Well done. No matter what happens, to stand firm. And this is my message. And I suppose some of you may know to what circumstance or thing that I've referred to a little bit here. Terrible thing. Horrible thing. But God, even in these things, He can be victorious for all of His children. He can be a blessing. And if our lives are shattered in this world by the temporal things, then do not listen to those voices that tell you to do the wrong thing. So I'm going to leave you there. And I know it's kind of an unusual sermon. But despair and those kind of things, they're not good. In this day, we've seen someone who's taken upon them the name of Christ, and they have a desire. And one of the things He said and told us, you know, I want to serve. I want to help. And I want to do something. Praise God for this. And I pray for him. I pray for his family. I pray that that's exactly what would happen. But I know he's going to be tested. I know he's going to be tried. I know that the devil's going to do everything he can to try and tempt him away from that desire to do the right thing. And so, because I have been tempted myself, and I've seen others being tempted. And nobody is exempt from that until we are strong and firm and immovable in this gospel work. May God bless you each, I pray.